I'm now joined with Councillor Donna Cooney, Green Party, to discuss the need to enforce a 30-kilometre speed limit for more parts of Dublin, also about plans for the portrait of Kathleen Clark, Dublin's first female Lord Mayor commissioned by Dublin City Council, and about Council's plans for outdoor summer to include more dining areas, toilet facilities and more. Good morning, Donna. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Johnny.
First of all, Donna, the plan to make 30 kilometre per hour the default speed limit in more areas of Dublin is likely to be scrapped after public consultation revealed lack of support. What do you make of all of this?
That's not true, actually. It's there was very little indifference. The headlines don't necessarily tell the truth in that. And if you go and find another article, you'll find them saying the opposite, that Dublin City Council are going ahead. But it's up to the councillors. So it'll be the meeting was really just an indication, indicative of, you know, the type of results. It wasn't a statutory consultation. So it was just, you know, a survey. And I suppose it wasn't very reflective necessarily of the whole of society either. Obviously, children weren't included in it. So there was nobody under 18. There was, like, you know, 1-3% under the age of 25. There was only about 30% women. And so the majority, 60%, were men in their middle age who were motorists. So it wouldn't really be the most reflective survey. But even with that, it was really fairly tight. Like, I mean, it was like just slightly above that weren't in favour of the 30th standard. But if you included in the 41% that were in favour, and then those that were in selectively in favour, you know, with certain exceptions, you would then be up to 49, you know, so it was actually there was actually a majority that were in favour of reduced speeds. So it depends on what way you look at the results of the survey. So, but I suppose I would be very, very strong advocate of 30k a standard. I think it makes it a lot easier in terms of simpler for people to know that any time they're in a residential area, that 30 km is the speed. It's something that's happening internationally, you know, throughout the world, and it's we've signed up to the UN in terms of this, as we signed up to the UN Charter on this. It's recommendation by the World Health Organization, and it's, you know, it's something that's happening around the world in residential areas, because unfortunately, in terms of deaths of children, it is, you know, really comes on top of one of the causes of deaths of children. And 30, with the 30 kilometre per hour, 9 out of 10 pedestrians that would be hit at that speed would survive. And then you go up, it goes up enormously. But just by you put on another 10, you go to 40, and you're talking about only 1 in 5 will survive. You know, so you're talking, you know, and then you've got, you know, so it really is, you know, it makes a huge difference. And I think it makes it simpler as well for drivers to know that really all residential areas would be 30k, and then there'd be exceptions on certain roads, you know. So
yes, I think also they say that for pedestrians hit by a car, if a car is travelling at 60 kilometres per hour, 9 in 10 will die. I mean,
well, that's serious. That's even at 50 kilometres an hour, you know, so
yeah.
9 out of 10. Yeah, so that's a huge difference, you know. So, and a lot of our roads, even within residential areas, are 50 kilometres outside schools. And you go, right, you know, I mean, if you talk to anybody in other countries and say, are you on your right mind? How could you have 50 kilometres an hour outside a school, you know, with the most vulnerable people there? And, you know, if you can't even have a school zone if it's a 50k. And the problem with only putting it, say, 30 km temporarily outside a school is you confuse drivers, and they don't know, you know, when does this become, if they could be passing by, they're passing through, they're not living locally. When is this, you know, a 30k, and when is it a 50? So, you know, it's better to just have a standard 30k and keep it at that. And some councillors that thought differently have now come around, and they believe that it's the way to go. Which I was at the Transport SPC last week. It was actually quite heartening to hear that people actually have opened their minds up and thought about it and listened to the science and listened to the arguments and have changed their mind from the last vote. So I think, you know, ultimately it's a decision of the councillors, and it'll be come before our council meeting. On Monday next. So, and then we, you know, it'll be up to the councillors then as to whether it goes out to a statutory consultation. So then the public can put in their submissions. So it'll be open to the public to make their submissions and their, you know, and then that'll then come back to a full vote of the councillors. But if the councillors don't vote for it on Monday, then it won't go out to a statutory consultation and we'll stay with the 50Ks that are there.
The proposal would have extended the 30 kilometre per hour limit to, you know, arterial routes such as Dorset Street, Harold's Cross on the south side. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think there could be some roads in Clontarf.
Yes. Well, they were talking about 40k or 30k for the Clontarf Road, but there's also Collins Avenue, Grace Park Road, Malahide Road. They weren't recommending reducing that, but yeah, but I mean, there's quite a lot of schools on Collins Avenue, Grace Park Road, Griffith Avenue. Yes, there are within the Clontarf and within the North Central area, there's quite a lot of recommendations.
Within the plan, okay.
Within the plan, yeah. And yeah. I've had a lot of residents, people that live on the roads, there's no benefit to them having a higher speed, you know, because it's not just in terms of just road safety. It just makes it a more inhospitable space because it's almost like you have, you know, you're blocked from people on the other side of the road. You have noise. There's none of that sort of casual contact with your neighbours that you have. You just feel like it's a less safe space. So you're more likely to just come in and come straight in the door and not sort of stand outside and mingle and talk to neighbours. And that's been shown worldwide that if you calm a street and you bring that peace and calm to a street with less noise, if traffic is driving slower, there's actually less noise. It's a quieter space and it's a space that people can actually linger and talk to neighbours. It becomes a more neighbourly space to be in.
Okay. How does Dublin compare to most other cities across Europe in terms of speed limit?
Well, as I was saying, this is a worldwide movement and cities all around the world, London, Manchester, a lot of cities in the UK have gone to 20 miles per hour because they're on the miles, which would be equivalent to our 30k. So, yeah, the Love 30 campaign is, as I say, it's a worldwide movement and it's very much enforced in other countries as well. So, yeah, I think we're actually behind on this. Fortunately, we have a lot of catching up to do. But I mean, I'm hopeful that we will actually, you know, like we used to be laggards with the climate action and now we're leaders. And I do think we can be leaders when it comes to road safety as well.
OK, Donna, on a different note, a portrait of Kathleen Clark, Dublin's first female Lord Mayor, who was commissioned by Dublin City Council. It's going to hang in the council chamber of Dublin City Hall and it's hoped to be in place in time to mark her 50th anniversary of her death in September of next year, 2022. Yes. So tell us more about it and about the artist selected.
So we had a selection panel. We met a good few times. There was the initial, all the people that submitted, and then people were shortlisted. And then the shortlisted artists were asked to come back with a sketch, a smaller piece, or, you know, piece which would be representative and their concept around it. And, you know, after really, we all went in actually and we viewed separately because of the COVID. It was laid out in the lab that each of the selection panel went in and we viewed the work. It took our time, you know, we were individually. And then we met because it was important to see the work in real. And then we met and we had two meetings. And eventually the artist that won the commission was Gareth Reid. The commission is to be a full length piece. I think what we really liked is to have her really full in front, that she is the main focus, even though obviously she was the wife of Thomas Clark, one of the leaders of the 1916 Rising, that it was important that she was a woman in her own right and the first Lord Mayor of Dublin. She also founded the Red Cross and she's just many achievements. So and there hasn't been a new portrait hung in over 100 years in City Hall, in the council chamber. So, you know, there's a, like, if you look around, I don't know if anybody's seen the council chamber. It's full of like these ancient Lord Mayors in their sort of red robes and looking very, very stately. And it'll be really, and they were quite dark as well of the time. So I think this portrait will be like a, you know, breath of fresh air. It'll just be wonderful and it'll be great for us because we have the biggest representation of women, of female councillors on Dublin City Council of any of the local authorities. We're almost on par. So we have about 48-49%. So we're nearly 50%. I think with a few co-optees would have actually been more female co-optees with some of the councillors that have resigned. So we're really up to, you know, we're only on par in terms of if that hasn't happened in national government and it hasn't happened anywhere else in Ireland yet. So I think it's absolutely great. And we'll actually be able to see a woman in a portrait in City Hall for the first time. Her relative was part of the selection as well. And, you know, and I think the family are going to be delighted as well to see her finally being recognised. And it's only part of, as well as the portrait, there's going to be exhibitions and a lot of other events happening next year as well in 2022 to mark this significant time.
Very nice. Donna, finally, tell us about council's plans for more outdoor dining areas, toilet facilities, extra benches and so on. And it's all part of government's outdoor summer plan.
Yeah, and we've only just got it announced as well from Roger Gorman. There's another fund available for government, $9 million for children's outdoor activities, play activities. Yeah, it'll be all outdoors this year, and it's important that we have it done in a positive way, and you know that people can enjoy. So therefore, we need more facilities, we need more seating, we need some tables, we need more outdoor toilets, so that it's done in a way that's safe and controlled, and people can enjoy their summers, and obviously, you know, that the business can be thriving again as well.
Okay. Have outdoor dining fees for businesses, has that been waived for the moment due to pandemic?
It has, yeah. Till the end of 2022, you can apply to put your outdoor furniture outside, and it's perfectly free. And in fact, Dublin City Council mobility team are working in terms of putting in, first of all, temporary, but there may become permanent fixtures of build outs with plants and seating and just making it attractive spaces outside cafes and restaurants.
Okay. So, how will the plan for extra toilet facilities be done? Will they be the portable type?
Well, there's a couple of options. You'll probably have already seen that within our own area, the Dublin City Council have opened up the library, some of the libraries, to use their toilets. The sports down beside the Dart station, the all-weather pitches there are open. We will have a toilet facilities put one near the Avonburn Road and then another one up at the end of Vernon Avenue where the pump station, we've been told, will be that there will be a toilet facility put there. There's also going to be ones that do like a coffee dock with, and the idea there is that the people that were running the coffee dock, you know, that they would have the toilet and they would be managing that toilet facility as well. So I'm a little bit concerned that I'm not getting there quite as quickly as I'd like to see them, because we've already seen the crowds of people out, and you know, there was like lots of people out, not like the sort of scenes we may have seen elsewhere, but people were actually along the Clontarf, the Promenade and St Anne's Park. There are toilets there, but we could really do with, you know, when people are out with their families and kids and, you know, and women, you know, you like to know that you have a facility within, you know, a certain amount of distance from your home, so that you can really actually enjoy your time out. And so it's important, yeah, we important we get these in. And I'd like to see it happening fairly quickly. Well, I'm told that it is happening, but we'll keep pushing to make sure that it does.
Okay. Would it be possible to have any support for businesses to produce a better packaging system in order to reduce litter?
Yeah, I think that needs to be done. In fact, I had an edible cup, a nice cup of coffee there on my way for a swim. And there's a place, it's called Bold and Brass. It's behind the wall of the GA club there, Skull O'Connell on the seafront. But there's like, I think that's the first place doing them yet in Ireland anywhere, at least in Dublin. That's the first time I've tried it. But it's a cup and you get your coffee, and I think the cup lasts for about half an hour before it starts to disintegrate. So, but you can eat it. It's a bit like a thick wafer, which suppose, yeah. And I was thinking like, you know, I should probably give them even better idea. You maybe could get a scoop of ice cream or sorbet or something in it afterwards, you know, and actually reuse your edible one before you ate it. But it's actually a novel idea. It leaves no waste. But like a lot of places, we're encouraging places to use their keep cups, and then they go up on the Conscience Cup website. And I suppose we're just encouraging people, you know, to use those takeouts and to put their signage to say that they'll take a keep cup. At the start, there was a lot of places that wouldn't use a keep cup, but now they've worked out a system, you know, you take the lid off, you hand it, they don't need to handle it, you know, so it can be done in a safe way. Also, that, you know, we're encouraging takeaways to, you know, take back packaging. And, you know, if they do that, like, I mean, all of us are really happy to you know, to promote that as a place that does that. You know, so if you take back the pizza box, you know, so many pizza boxes back that they could give a voucher for a free pizza, that type of incentive, you know, where even if it's not the people that are actually using themselves, you might be a few other people might pick them up and say, hey, that's an opportunity. You see it at festivals where people pick up the cups and they get the the money back and the cups. So it's, you know, yeah, somebody else do it. If somebody else probably see it as a good option to pick them up. So yeah, anything that can reduce the waste is the thing. Litter is the thing. And, you know, it's to be welcomed and promoted, because, you know, there's a huge amount of litter, and there's people seem to be under the impression that somehow there's some overtime for, you know, for people are being paid overtime and they're out there. They're not, you know. And in fact, we have a finite amount of resources and a finite amount of money to spend on waste. And if we've gone through what we have on the budget, we end up taking it from other things, which are nice improvements, environmental improvements, or things that people need. And they say, oh, how come we haven't got that railing for the parks yet, or those benches that we were hoping to get in, or, you know, some other nice environmental improvements and public domain improvements. And it's like, well, that's all been spent on picking up the litter, you know. So, you know, so there's a knock on effect that's felt as well.
Absolutely. Right, so we leave it there for today. Thanks again, Donna, for joining us. Lovely talking with you, as always.
And Dublin City Council have signed up to the Leave No Trace. So love your place and leave no trace.
Yeah, or you might get a fine. Yeah. Donna, thanks again. All the very best. Do take care.
Thank you, Johnny.